Our next guest is a comedian who has appeared with some of the biggest names in the business and some of the biggest venues. You've seen her on Showtime, on One Night Stand Up, the Oprah Winfrey Show, and she has got a wonderful one-person show that she's developed as well, her own show called The Queer Queens of Comedy, now in its fifth year. We're thrilled to be joined this afternoon by Poppy Champlin. Poppy, thanks so much for being with us.
Well, Rich, thank you for having me on. That's quite a lineup of people that you've had on.
We've had some people, yeah. We enjoy the people on the show. They're good. Otherwise, it's me talking to Carrie, and while we find it entertaining, the ratings just bottomed out for that.
Well, you've pulled some great names. You really have had some great people on. So I gotta live up to, you know, something here.
Well, I have no doubt about that. Well, you've worked with everybody in the business, including some friends of our show. You've worked with Bob Marley out in Los Angeles.
Oh yeah, Bob is great. I really like Bob. He was really big at the Laugh Factory out in L.A., and then he headed out to Maine, and now he's like a god out there, I imagine.
Oh, he is. I mean, to the point where, yeah, he won't even speak to us anymore. Now, we've got a friend who was just on with us last week who is a fellow Rhode Island-based comedian. Have you ever crossed paths with Ray Harrington?
Oh, yeah, I love Ray. I've used Ray on a couple of my shows here in Kingston, Rhode Island. I do I teach as well here. I teach stand-up comedy at the Courthouse Center for the Arts. And when we go through a six-week class, and then at the end we put on a big show, and I've had Ray headline that show a few times.
He's great. So what led you as a young person into the world of comedy?
You know, it's tragedy. It's tragedy, Rich. That's all it is. You know, it's the two masks.
It's a fine line, isn't it?
Yeah. Nobody likes to see the clown cry, so you just got to get through it. But you know what? It was college, when I was in college. Actually, I was playing basketball for the W Rams. So you were talking about your team, the Black Bears, and I was playing basketball. I thought I was going to be a professional basketball player, to tell you the truth. But that did not work out, because it wasn't a professional. It wasn't a professional league when I was there. We were just getting Title IX when I was there.
Right, that was back when they said, oh, gosh, you know, the women... I know here in Maine, well into, I think, the 50s and 60s, women weren't allowed to play full court. They would play with six on a team, three played offense and three played defense because, you know, we don't want women to exert themselves or anything.
Oh, my God. It was just, what a battle that was, right?
Yeah.
To be able to run up and down the court, just to run up and down the court. Oh, please let us play.
So you made the transition that so many comedians have made, choosing comedy as a second choice after basketball.
Yes, that's correct. I chose comedy because I chose theater because I thought it would be easy. Turns out being a comedian is not easy. It is not easy to make a living being a comedian, but I have managed to do it since 1990, so I'm pretty proud about that.
You studied out at the Second City in Chicago, and improv is to me, and I do some very amateur improv around here, but to me, having that background in improv, and we've talked with so many actors who have that background as well, it just makes you so versatile and gives you that great ability to be able to not just think on your feet, but I would think this would be great in comedy. You end up listening to people better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, oh, yeah. That was hard. I got to tell you, that was very difficult for me doing the improv because I went out to Chicago already very established at being a stand-up comedian. And when I got into the improv, you know, you had to let other people take over.
Right. Don't give us your punchline. Don't get to your joke. Develop that character.
Yeah. I'm like, wait. No, I didn't want to leave the scene up to them. It was really hard for me to, you know, I fit in, you know, with them. And, like, you're supposed to develop your who, what, and where as soon as you get into your scene with the other people. And by the end of my scenes, my teachers were just being like, why, Poppy, why? I don't know.
We're talking.
But I had some pretty famous people out there when I was there, like Bonnie Hunt was there, Chris Farley and Mike Myers. And so there was some pretty big people that went on to great things.
Who were the comedy folks that you looked up to when you were first getting started?
Well, when I was first getting started, Joan Rivers was my mentor. I just thought she was fantastic. And after I did too much drugs, I turned into her. you know what I mean? The white stuff made me sound like her. Okay, can we talk? Okay, I want to talk till 4 in the morning. Yeah. But but then I just started being like her. You know, I emulated her and got on her show when she had the late night show out in Hollywood. And became infatuated with her act, and then finally, you know, learned my own act. I was really good out in Chicago. I got really good and got on Rosie O'Donnell's show, and then Joan Rivers had another show in New York City, and she had the Joan Rivers Morning Show, and they were looking for America's Funniest Real Woman, and I won the contest in Chicago, and then they flew me out to New York, and I won in New York on national TV. So I am America's Funniest Real Woman.
Well, there's no question in my mind. You also you hit Hollywood. Well, how did that go for her? Obviously, well, and that's why we're talking with you, but how did that change things for you?
Hollywood was hard. It is hard in Hollywood. You know, they warned me on my way there. They were like, okay, you can come out here, but we're going to warn you. It's set up to kick you out. And so I went out, and I had an agent right away. I mean, I hadn't been there a month, and I had a William Morris agent. He had just made Martin Lawrence a big star, and he was ready to do the same for me. And I was so thrilled, and they said, oh, okay, they set me up at the Laugh Factory, and anytime you want to go on, go there, and then when you're ready, we'll come see you live. I was like, great. So I did that, and I called them about a month later, and I was like, okay, I'm ready. And they're like, who? And I'm like, Bill Branca. And they're like, oh, sorry, kid, he went insane. See you later. Bye.
That's a bad sign, I have to think.
Huh?
I have to think that's a bad sign in your career.
That was very bad because, you know, it only takes one to see the potential and make it happen for you. And from then on, it was like I couldn't get anyone else to take a look-see, you know. So I just went on and did my own thing and finally got on a Showtime. I got on a Showtime special hosted by Bruce Vilanch, and I finally came out in 2000 and, you know, just really became myself and didn't try as hard to, you know, get into Harvey Weinstein's bedroom. No, I mean, sometimes you got to try and get there to get, you know, I mean, it was just horrible. But I never really ran into that at all. But, you know, so I've been doing it on my own, basically, ever since. And so now I produce my own shows, Queer Queens of Comedy, and I still do cruises and travel around the country and teach, and I get on great shows like yours.
Well, tell us a little bit more about the Queer Queens of Comedy.
Well, it's I bring two other lesbian comedians with me, and we either sell out a theater or I go into comedy clubs and get a night there and, you know, really sell it out and just travel the country doing it. The Funny Bones is a comedy chain, and they really like the show. A lot of clubs now are looking to, you know, have a sort of a gimmicky show. I know there's another one called Drunk, Stoned, and Stupid or something, and that goes around the country into the clubs. And so mine is, you know what you're going to get, Queer Queens of Comedy, and it really, the LGBT community really comes out and supports it. So
I'm reading
that's my niche, I guess. So.
Well, I'm reading on your Facebook page, I can't even imagine this, that you performed the closing ceremonies of the gay games in Chicago to over 25,000 people. I get that if you're a rock star, but that has to be a bit unnerving as a comic.
Oh, horrendous. I cannot even tell you how scared I was. I mean, come on. So I went to the, first I went to the rehearsal, and the rehearsal, you know, they showed, you know, what we were going to be doing in this, the space and the stage in the middle of the baseball diamond and in Wrigley Field. And I had to go home and go to bed. I had to stop my heart and my stomach and my brain. It was just going nuts. And I finally had to, you know, get myself together and pray and say, please, God, help me. And so what I had to do was, sometimes you have to get really tough. And I just had to be like, you know what, screw this, who cares, that doesn't matter. You know what I mean? You have to just get like, it doesn't, you have to take the pressure off. So I finally did that, and it turned out to be great. You had to wait an extra, so the timing was off, because it took them that second or two for the laugh to come back. So the timing was a little off, but it still went fine. So I was happy with my performance.
Well, and how do you?
I was still scared.
How do you identify that one drunk guy who's heckling when there are 25,000 people?
Well, you don't have to worry about him. And I didn't know you were there.
I stumbled. I was the wrong room. I was looking for Drunk and Stupid, that comedy show, but I enjoyed yours much more.
Oh, good.
What have you got coming up for shows that people listening or checking out online might be interested in? Where can we come see you, Poppy?
Well, if you're around Providence and Cranston this Saturday, I'm at the Nelson Lounge in Cranston doing a show. I'm going to actually do two shows, so it's going to be an 8 o'clock and a 9:30 show. So it's really just two different sets, you know. And that's with the Rhode Island Women's Association. So they're having a party in there. And I think anybody can come in. And then I head out. No, then my class does a show March 15th down here at the Courthouse Center for the Arts. So my current students, I have six of them. And so they will be putting on a show at the Courthouse Center for the Arts in Kingston, Rhode Island. And then I head out to Baltimore to McGoobie's Joke House, March 22nd. And what happens after that? April. What happens in April?
Well, you're going to the Toledo Funny Bone on April 16th. I know that.
Oh, yeah, that's it. Toledo. Actually, it's the 17th. We changed it to the
17th. Oh, okay.
Sorry. That's and okay. Then the 19th is the Columbus Funny Bone, and the 22nd is the Cincinnati Funny Bone. So that's a little tour that I've set up and producing it and promoting it.
And people can check out your website as well at poppycockprod.com.
Correct, or just poppychamplin.com. They both go to the same place.
That sounds fantastic. And my ex-sister-in-law lives in Little Compton, so if you see her, say hello, please.
Really?
Yeah.
My grandmother lived in Little Compton. I spent a lot of time over there.
That's a beautiful area. Poppy, it's great to talk with you. We so much appreciate you making time for us this afternoon. Enjoy your upcoming trip out there to the beautiful Midwest, and I hope you come back and visit with us again.
I appreciate you having me on, and I can't wait to get up to the great state of Maine.
Well, yes, that's what we need to do more than anything, is get you booked up here for a show.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I do your state bird quite well, I have to admit.
Oh, really?
Isn't it the loon?
Well, that's not the official state bird. That's the state bird of tourists who, you know, pay big money to stay on those camps in the No, our state bird is the chickadee.
It is? Yeah. Oh, well, I have plenty of those here. Yeah. Well, here's my impression of the loon. I thought you might
I would love to hear it. Yes, please.
Okay, here goes.
God, that is incredible.
Isn't that amazing?
Wow.
It took me a long time to learn how to do that.
Wow. I feel like making out with Katharine Hepburn.
Oh, Norman, the loon. You can hear them out on Golden Pond. You got to do a kegel, though, when you do it, Rich.
Oh, that is great. Poppy, thank you so much for being with us. We'll do it again.
All right, sounds good. Thank you.
That's Poppy Champlin on Downtown at 5:45. That was a damn good loon right there.